Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are going to be discussing the Amazon Prime series, Daisy Jones and the Six. And is this the first series where we've both read the book and watched the show?
I think it is.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
I didn't, because I didn't read any of the like Sally Rooney books yet.
Oh yeah. Okay. And I think those are the only ones I had read and watched.
I'm trying to think of even any other book like series based on a book besides those.
Yeah, it feels like it's a newer thing.
Yeah, this must be the first one. Very exciting.
That is exciting. But first, we have TV news and, of course, our Waystar water cooler segment. What do you have for us, Jordan?
Very excited that Netflix is doing a Scott Pilgrim anime, and the entire cast is coming back, which is pretty wild because a lot of them are like very famous now. Like,
yeah, it's amazing.
Brie Larson and like Chris Evans. I'm like, they're like the Marvel peeps are like, they're going to do it. I mean, it's like easy to do like your voice acting, but it's just like really fun. And I think clearly, I think they all had, it seems like everyone involved with the movie had an amazing fun time. And yeah, like some of our close personal friends, Kieran Culkin, Mae Whitman, Jason Schwartzman, like they're all coming back. And I just think that's really cute, even though it's a cartoon. But it's fun because Edgar Wright and Brian Lee O'Malley are collabing again on it. And it's just really a fun announcement.
Yeah, it is very fun. And I mean, if I were an actor, I could literally never turn down a voice acting gig because it sounds so nice. So
seriously,
happy for them and happy for us. Taraji P. Henson is going to be joining the cast of Abbott Elementary, which is so fun.
Ooh, I didn't hear about that.
She's going to play Janine's mother.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's brilliant.
I guess it's just for one episode, but still very fun.
So fun. Wow. Did you see the trailer or new announcement about the HBO show White House Plumbers?
No, that is the trailer I bookmarked and didn't watch.
Okay. You should, because a lot of people pop up in it. And it's about Watergate. And the leads are Woody Harrelson and Justin Theroux, but it also, and Lena Headey from Game of Thrones.
Fun.
And also Judy Greer, Ike Barinholtz, Kiernan Shipka, like a billion people, Domhnall Gleeson. And that's premiering on May 1st.
I'm watching it right now on Silent because I had it bookmarked from Kiernan. And it also has that other guy with the thick rimmed glasses from Mad Men, which is a fun Mad Men.
Oh, yeah. Wow, his name is the only one not listed.
I can't remember his name.
I know. I can't remember his name either. But he's in a ton of stuff. And I hate
he's
his.
In everything.
He's like the most obnoxious, annoying human on Mad Men. But I think he must be cool in real life because like he's in all these great things with fun people.
Yeah, he's got to.
Wow, that's going to drive me insane. I can't even remember his character's name. If you know, you know. Sorry for the lack of information.
Feeling too lazy to look it up, too.
Truly. Also, it's fun because Kieran and Shipka basically look exactly like Sally Draper. Because it's in, like, that's, you know, the 70s or whatever year Watergate happened.
This isn't a history podcast. Apparently, Megan Thee Stallion is in talks to be involved in the Safdies Netflix movie.
Ooh.
And great. Love to see Megan Thee Stallion literally do anything. So can't wait.
That's amazing news. Okay. As a present day Bachelor Nation head, did you see that Mike Fleiss is leaving after 21 years because of allegations of racial discrimination?
I did see that. I haven't read any of the articles as to what happened. I just saw the headline and thought, I should look that up, and I haven't yet. Very interesting. And very interesting that, like, that wasn't figured out when they were getting rid of Chris Harrison. That,
yeah,
to me is very odd.
That is a really good point. Yeah, maybe it's, like, Chris Harrison was the public-facing one, so it was, like, oh, I'll, like, he kind of took the blame for, like, everything, maybe. And then after, like, further investigation, they're, like, oh, actually, it goes up even to the top, like, more to the top or something.
Yeah.
Very weird.
But also, I know that he's had some problems before, like, with, like, domestic abuse, I think.
Oh,
so,
my
like,
gosh.
I think he's already been a little problematic before. So,
gross.
Yeah, it's weird and odd, and I'm interested to see who they put there. And honestly, I hope it is a woman,
yeah,
and someone from the Bachelor franchise history. And not what Jesse, I would laugh if it was Jesse Palmer, who right now is hosting, and I just think I don't like him. So, and granted, none of these people have ever run a show before, but I would like it to be a woman, no matter who it is.
I 100% agree. Yeah, that, I feel like it's a good time for them to revamp.
Yes, like, they haven't really changed any of their thing, any of how the show works in so many years, that I am ready for some freshness.
This is a good segue, actually, to some news that I think we forgot to mention, but F-Boy Island has been saved by the CW. And so there's going to be a new season, and it's going to be, there's going to be F-Boy Island, and they're going to spin off F-Girl Island.
Okay, I didn't even know about that second part. Wow, that is very exciting.
So freaking cool. And apparently it's not confirmed if Nikki Glaser will host this new season. They've got to get her. She is part, like, a very, very important part of the show and why it's so entertaining. So,
and if they can't afford her, let's give it to Heather McMahon.
Okay, that's plan A now. Oh my gosh, she would be so good and so funny.
She would be so good.
Wow. Just this, we're just always brainstorming these amazing ideas.
Always.
Wow.
It was announced that there's going to be a Moana live action remake, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to return, which, thank goodness, because I'm not even The Rock fan, actually, but thinking of anybody else singing You're Welcome is just not okay with me.
It's, like, really heartbreaking, actually. Yeah, I feel like you're neutral on him at best. Like, nothing, except for...
I don't think he's hot. Yeah, except for when it comes to Moana.
I don't really know. Does anyone think that The Rock is, like, truly hot? I feel like he is oddly sexless.
I think people do.
That's... I mean, I think he's clearly an attractive man, but I just don't see people with muscles that are that big as, like, the same species as you and me.
Wait, did you say you see him as sexless?
Yes, I see him as, like if he was, like, a love interest or something in something, I would be like, that feels wrong. I feel like maybe I'd see him as, like, a cartoon. And I'm not the only person who has said that. I have seen a lot of people say that.
This is inspiring me. I kind of want to do, like, an Instagram poll to see if other people find him attractive or not. Because I'm like, are we the only two girls in the world who think this? Or are we not alone?
Where I'm pulling my research from is they recap every single Fast and the Furious movie on How Did This Get Made podcast. And June Diane Raphael says this all the time. And, like, out of love. I actually love The Rock. I think he's amazing. But I just, like, don't see him as, like, a sexual... Sexless is probably the wrong thing. I guess that would kind of mean more, like, non-binary, maybe. That's not what I see him. I see him as extremely cisgender male. Maybe too much testosterone. But I don't see him as sexual at all in any way. It's weird. I don't really know how to explain it other than that.
It's like, for other people's, for other people, you have to be like, you're not like, you are gay or straight or into The Rock.
That's a different sexual preference. It's like, he yeah. has like children and like, I think he's been married twice or something. It's like, so it's not like people, he can't like get women or something. I feel like he's just too much of like a father figure or something, but I don't know. I don't know exactly why I feel that way, but because he's not an ugly person either. It's weird. No. I think I have celebrity crushes that are not as attractive as The Rock. I just feel like it's like wrong to discuss him as like a sexual being. It's weird. Did you see that Moana herself is also playing herself or playing Moana?
No, I didn't. So that's great. I was actually going to say, if they don't bring her back, that would be really sad.
I saw an Instagram post today that someone was saying like, wow, it's crazy how soon they're making a live action of Moana, but they probably are doing it literally so they can do it while she still like looks young and can totally play Moana live action, which
I'm glad.
I'm all for it. And I'm usually not really that into the live action movies, but I was pretty excited to hear this. It's really cute, I think.
I agree.
Apparently, Warner Brothers is nearing a deal for an HBO Harry Potter TV series, and every season would be one book.
Interesting.
As a Harry Potter mega fan, but of the books in my past, I've always said that I wanted this. But now, just with J.K. Rowling being the way that she is, like, spewing hate, you know, which that's actually a pun because spew is something from Harry Potter, but
thank you for explaining that.
Had
to
say it. I couldn't let that go. I just feel like, really, why? Like, at this point, I just think it's not needed or wanted anymore. I don't even think people care about the maybe they do. They probably still make a lot of money, the new movies and stuff, but like, I just feel like I don't think it's, I don't know. I think they should have done this years ago, if at all.
I mean, I really enjoyed the movies. I didn't read all the books. So I understand that I'm on a different tier than everybody else with this. But I genuinely am like, enough with Harry Potter. Like, let's think of something new. Just create a new story that is about wizards. Mm-hmm. Because it came out so long ago, and it's just like so wild to me that like they're still selling like Harry Potter socks in Target. Like,
yeah,
I don't understand it. And yeah, I feel like she made so much money from those books. She's made enough probably to last her family generations and generations. So yeah, let's maybe just not.
I mean, obviously it's all about money, literally the entire thing. But it's also it's like the money that come from franchises. So it's like, if Warner Brothers is trying to keep up with Disney, who like, I mean, franchise kings between Star Wars and Marvel, like, it's like, they're probably like, all we have is Harry Potter, so we're going to keep doing it. But it's like, find other things. That's what I think. I'm pretty sure that Warner Brothers is also owns the DC comic books, and they don't do well. Ben Affleck's like roasting them in his interviews, and he was like the star of them. Like, it's just like, it's kind of like tragic, the Warner Brothers like franchise options. But like, I don't know, do something else. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's so problematic to like make Harry Potter TV show right now. You know, just feels really wrong.
It's not the time.
No.
Not the time.
Like, literally maybe wait till J.K. Rowling dies or something.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I don't know.
Sorry, but true.
Or has like gone away for like a decade. Like she's still mm-hmm. alive. Like she is active on Twitter being horrible. So it just feels weird.
I agree. And my next piece of news to counter her terribleness, and it's that Doctor Who cast Jinx Monsoon. That's crazy.
I know.
I feel like that is amazing and great. And Doctor Who really queering it up, and I'm happy for them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I gotta watch.
I know. That's how I feel too. And I think it's going to be on Disney Plus now.
Oh, wow. Perfect.
I'm extremely happy for Jinx and one of my favorite winners. I love her. And also one of the best actors that's ever been on the show. So it's like,
really,
it'll be a good thing.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. All right. On to waste our water cooler moment. Okay. On this episode of Succession, I had a dream fulfilled that I didn't even know I had, which was all of the Roys gathering together in a karaoke room. And it was truly too good to be true. I was freaking out. And honestly, I love Vulture because they do everything that I wish I had the means to do. And they like gave all of the Roy characters a karaoke song. And they were all very good. Specifically, the one I loved the most was they said Shiv Roy is You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette. And that felt like so perfect to me.
Yes.
They also gave Willa Candy by Mandy Moore. And that also made me laugh out loud.
So perfect.
How did you feel about the episode?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I really like the plotline about Carrie wanting to be an anchor and being terrible. That was really funny. Even Logan, like, realizing she sucks, and but even he doesn't want to tell her, and I don't know. It made me think that I was like, these characters are really stupid for no, like, Logan, I genuinely don't think he just wants yes men around him all the time, because he knows that Tom is just like lying to him to like, and not giving his honest opinion. I actually think Logan would respect Tom more if he would like be more bold in.
I agree.
Like, especially in kind of a safe moment. Like, yeah, it's scary to tell Logan that his probably like mistress slash assistant is not good enough to be an anchor. But I actually think Logan really would have respected that.
I agree. And I don't think that Logan would be having to go behind Tom's back and inviting Roman into the fold. I already said behind his back.
No, but that is such a good point.
If he had someone who was standing up to him and could actually handle the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because Tom's whole thing is just like, I want Logan to love me. Honestly, mm-hmm. Tom might want Logan to love him more than anyone else on the show, which is so interesting.
That is so true. More than his actual kids.
Yeah.
Well, something, I don't think I said this last week, but maybe I did. But it's like, it is really funny that like Tom did this whole big betrayal of Shiv and all this stuff. But all he really did was go from being Shiv's bitch to being Logan's bitch. And like, mm-hmm. We'll see maybe if he will gain power within like new ATN potentially, but like Logan has no respect for Tom. And
no, it sounds like he's gonna be losing power here shortly.
Yeah, exactly. I do think I think that Logan likes the way that Shiv and Kendall like talk back to him and stand up to him, but he also knows that they really do make bad business decisions a lot. And so it's like,
mm-hmm.
It's like each one of his kids has something that he likes, and so he kind of like has tried them all out. But I don't know, we'll see if Roman will. I just like, I'm scared for Roman. I'm just like, he is just gonna snap, and I'm really, really worried for him.
It's so sad I just wanted to like hug all of them when they were in that karaoke room and like hearing the things that they've been wanting to hear, but knowing it's not real.
Yeah.
And like trying to decipher like how to actually feel was just like so heartbreaking.
It really was so sad, especially because like I did respect that they weren't just falling for it. I guess we'll see, because sometimes Logan's so good at manipulating them that like probably a little bit of it will linger for Shiv and mm-hmm. Kendall. But I'm glad that in the moment they were like standing up to him, kind of.
Yeah. I wanted them to like tell him like, okay, prove it with your actions and here's what you can do. Mm-hmm. Like Shiv to tell him, okay, get me a really good divorce lawyer.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah, stuff like that.
Because Logan's like, well, if you were speaking to me, then I would have gotten you a great divorce lawyer. And it's like, yeah, but remember why they're not speaking to you? Like, they're not really just being petty. So I just thought it was such a great episode.
And it's funny because like while I was watching the episode, I kind of was getting a little bit, the show is just so amazing. And I feel like I just like a blind follower, but I really think it deserves it. But like while I was watching it, I was like, okay, like nothing is really like happening. Like when they were at the bar before they went to the karaoke club, just like chit-chatting around the table and like talking strategy and what to do and with Connor, I was kind of like, this scene is taking a really long time, and like I just feel like nothing's really happened this episode. But then when it ends, it's like, oh, there was so much happened. Like, I don't know how they do that. It's crazy.
Well, even the fact that it's like it seems like, oh, they're gonna build up to like this when they finally confront Logan, or like there's this big clash between the kids and Logan, and then it happened in episode 2, and it was actually like, it was like not really a screaming match. Logan was like very subdued while he was talking the mm-hmm. whole time, like trying, like being apologetic and whatnot. It was just like, I don't know, it was very, very good and very interesting. And the show's also brilliant because like I can also see where Logan is coming from, like in almost every conflict they have. Like, I'm not necessarily team Logan, but I also see his arguments, you know?
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I completely agree. And I was happy that we got, like, I feel like a lot of the, like, trailer for the season came from this episode. Like, him telling them that they're not serious people, and then, like, him walking around on the ATN floor. Which, oh my gosh, LOL. How he, Logan, was, like, still a little bit shorter than Tom when standing on that box of paper on the ATN floor.
So funny.
It was so funny. But it makes me just excited, like, for what's to come, because I feel like there's so much to come.
I know, like, we're basically going in blind, because we've seen basically all the little clips. I love that they did that. Speaking of the standing on the paper to be taller, I was like, I the whole time was thinking Veep when she stands up, they get that crate for her to stand on. in when she's like on the campaign trail, and I almost tweeted that from Girl Meets Show, like, oh haha Veep. But then I saw tweets that Rupert Murdoch literally stood on paper boxes to address the Wall Street Journal staff in like 2007, and I was like, oh, I would have looked really stupid. I didn't know that was like a reference to like a Murdoch situation, so I was glad I didn't tweet that, and I was really happy to know that trivia.
You wouldn't look stupid, because I bet you that no one who follows our Girl Made Show account would have known that. So, but maybe thank you for educating us now.
Oh yeah, I'll retweet it to really keep. It's just really important to like learn a new thing every day, you know.
Yes, exactly. Still loving it. Still have no idea how it's gonna end. Can't wait.
No clue. Love to be going in blindly.
Okay. On to Daisy Jones and the Six on Amazon Prime. This is based on a book, which me and Jordan both have listen to via audiobook, and we both highly recommend that you do that because it's very fun, because they have like a bunch of different voice actors reading the parts.
It's probably one of my favorite audiobooks I've ever listened to. I loved it.
Yeah, I think so too. It was written by Taylor Jenkins Reid, who also wrote The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which was also great and has a cult following and will probably see on screen shortly, eventually. But yeah, I feel like this book had kind of a cult following and has been highly anticipated and was produced by Reese Witherspoon's production company.
I forgot about that.
You know, that's funny because I almost tweeted, but I was like, this feels a little too harsh. But I wanted to say that I blame Reese Witherspoon for Billy's bad hair for when he's aged up, because I have no one else to blame.
Oh my gosh.
But like,
gosh.
I just, the hair was so bad, I need someone to blame.
It almost felt like a joke. It was so bad.
Truly
and
did.
I was like, what year is this supposed to be? I don't remember a man having like a perfectly round brushed bob like that
ever.
Like it
ever.
Was just like, not, it wasn't even like a Keith Urban weirdo like like male rock celebrity guy goofy hair, but like at least that exists, I guess. Like this, where it was
Keith
just
Urban
so
is
weird.
A good example to compare it to, though, because like it was like so thin. But then it had so much weird volume that I was like, this hair doesn't exist.
That is so funny. Wow, Keith Urban really needs to... A side note, he needs to change his hair. But so does Billy in this show. Like, it was just like, it just didn't make sense.
It did not.
It was so weird.
But anyway, sorry for getting ahead of myself. How did you feel about the show as a whole?
I had a lot of fun watching this. And... I know we talked about this. I think we were both a little hesitant to finally watch it because mostly what I saw were like negative reviews, didn't like it, the book is way better, I don't like the songs. And I actually really did like the songs and I thought it was really fun. And I just listened to the book like a month ago. And so I was like, oh, am I going to be too distracted by things I liked better in the book or something? And I really didn't feel that way. I just had a fun time watching like a rock band get famous and stuff. I thought it was really fun. How did you feel?
Yeah, I was a little bored in the beginning. So it took me a little bit, but once the two groups of people came together, I was definitely more invested. And in the end, I really liked it. I even was like, I cried in the finale, like I was emotionally moved. And yeah, I thought the music was good.
I put some of the songs on like my playlist on Spotify. I was like, I'm gonna listen to this. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, and they had real musicians work on it. Like Phoebe Bridgers worked on it.
Mm-hmm. I think Marcus Mumford did too. Those are the two I've heard of that were, and I was like, okay, impressive. Also, I was very impressed with everyone's singing voices.
Everyone sounded great.
Yeah. When you said the beginning was boring, I think the middle set of episodes was, I think, like the best for me. It was like really fun. I went by really quick. Like there was even one night this week, I think it was Friday night, where I was like, okay, I need to go to bed. I'll just like let the next episode start so I can kind of skip through like the intro stuff. And then suddenly I'd like watch the entire episode. I was like, I can't remember the last show where I did that, actually. Like, where I literally just, like, kind of couldn't stop watching it. So that was fun.
Yeah. That's impressive because I kept turning it on right before bed and I fell asleep almost immediately every night.
Well, these songs are so good. They're, like, beautiful lullabies for you.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I feel like the biggest critique that I had heard about it was that it was like felt like cheesy, like almost like CW cheesy. And I honestly like didn't really get that at all. I feel like the acting was all pretty good.
Yeah.
And really, honestly, I just felt like the aging of most of them was what kind of cheesed it up for me. And then just Billy Dunn as a whole, I didn't find super believable. Just because he was like so insufferable and didn't have like any redeeming qualities that it was a little hard for me to really believe that someone is like that. And like that's where the cheesiness kind of came for me. But everyone else and everything else, even I was worried about like the cinematography and like how that looked, like the weird, like the sepia and like the blue skies kind of look. But I felt like it fit. And I liked it.
Yeah, I agree. I actually really liked the aesthetic of it. I think it really felt like you're watching something from the 70s.
I just looked at my notes and to go along with the wig. And I know I'm really being really harsh on Billy, a.k.a. Sam Claflin. But I said Sam's wig is bad and his jaw is too sharp.
He looks kind of scary. His angles were just
like too... Yeah, like he needed to have some facial hair, I think.
Yeah, he needed facial hair or he needed 15 pounds on him.
Yes, yes. I think that you said you wanted him to have buckle fat
injection.
Injection.
That's what my notes say, yes. I was like, okay, there's like sexy cheekbones and then there's like, you're a skull. And he was a little skull-like. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just because he's getting older, because like his body was like he was like in great shape. He wasn't like when he took his shirt off, you were like, ah, feed this man. But like, his face was just a little creepy, and all the other people in the band looked. He's supposed to be the older brother, but he looked like he could have been their dad. Like, he looked a lot older than everybody. And I actually don't know how old the actor is, but something when we were kind of texting about it yesterday, you were like, he's not this insufferable in the book, right? And I was like, no, in the book, I feel like the plot was all there of like him kind of like not wanting to work with Daisy and like struggling with alcoholism and like coming out of rehab and his new daughter and all this stuff. But I feel like there's more redeemable parts to him and like he has kind of like a softer side. And in this it was like I didn't really want anyone to like be with him because I was like, girls, just run, like go somewhere else. Like even Daisy's other love interest, which I really think is supposed to be like you're really not supposed to like him at all. I was like, I mean, at least he's better than Billy. And like, I don't think you're supposed to feel that way.
Yeah, I don't think so
but
either.
But I kind of did think he was like, at some points, like way healthier of an option than Billy for her. But I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe like, I feel like in the book, maybe we get like a little bit more of like, hearing his like love for like his kid and like I feel like we didn't really get any of that, like we never really see him that much with his child and like I also thought it was interesting that like they don't show like their siblingship, the two brothers, like you don't really see them interact like at all, which is so odd to me.
I feel like it's starting to sound like I didn't like the show maybe a little bit, but I do feel like even like the other brother and then the other guys in the band, I didn't even care if they had any scenes in this show. I was like, don't need them. They were just taking up space. So I feel like if I were going to say weak points, I think that some of the wigs on the men were just, and some of the women in some parts were, so silly that they were distracting. The boys weren't cute at all, and I didn't really care about, like, the rest of the band. I was just really fully invested in, like, Daisy, basically, and I guess kind of Billy, too. But also, honestly, like, Daisy and Camilla. I was very invested in Daisy, Camilla, and Karen, and then the rest of the boys, I was like, whatever. They're just accessories in this show. But I loved the three lead girls so much that, like, they made the show amazing.
They slayed. Like, they all looked so beautiful. And I A note that I wrote is that, like, I can tell that a woman wrote this because I feel like in any other show, they would kind of pit women against each other. Like, I feel like Daisy and Karen would have, like, fought being, like, the two girls in the band or something. Mm-hmm. But, like, they were actually super supportive of each other. And, like, all of the responsibility fell on the men and, like, the for, like, their own actions. Like, not, yes. Like, they deserved it. And I just, like, really appreciated that and thought that that was great. And, like, even, like, Camilla and Daisy's relationship felt very, like, although they could actually, like, absolutely hate each other, they didn't and still had, like, love and, like, respect for one another. And I thought that was really cool and refreshing.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good point.
And yeah, none of them deserved, and they were all way too good for any of the men.
It was laughable. Some of the, I was confused at the appeal of the boys in the show. They were just like, we're not cute to me. And in the first few episodes, I thought that Sam Claflin looked kind of cute. And I think that his hair, I think his best hair was probably, must have been towards the beginning when you like kind of first meet him. And then I don't know really what happened. I mean, you also get to know his character better and he's like just such a dud. And
yeah,
like a sad sack that it was like, okay, well, you're less cute to me now. And I don't know. But still had a great time with this show. It's just so odd
because I was Instagram stalking all of them when I finished the show last night. And like, I am very attracted to Sam in real life. And like, he has a little bit of facial hair and he's cute. But yeah, I just... Mm-mm.
Not in here.
Something was not... It wasn't there.
Well, I mean, I was talking about this with another friend where, like, we were obsessed with Hunger Games and he's so hot in Hunger Games. And, like, yeah. We were, like, looking up old GIFs. It was like, he was hot, right? And we were like, yeah, he's hot. He's just really not hot in this show.
Well, and when I read the book, I can't believe I'm able to say this because I can't believe I read a book. But, like, I was imagining someone who was, like, I was trying to, like, recast this person in my head of, like, who I was imagining. And I never really came up with someone. I was thinking of someone who was, like, more, like, gruffy and maybe even a little bit more country-ish.
I can see that.
And, like, more of, like, the Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec's body.
Like, stocky.
Type.
Tall, stocky.
Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of pictured someone, like, more in that realm. I don't really know who I would cast, though. I couldn't come up with anyone.
This gives me a lot to think about. Because I'm trying to picture what I pictured when I was listening to the book, too. And I definitely mm-hmm. think... I feel like in the show, Billy was, like, very volatile and, like, a total mess even after rehab. And I feel like in the book, after rehab, he was, like, so concerned with, like, being good that he was kind of just, like, quiet. And so it came off as, like, to Daisy and to other people that he was just, like, kind of, like, standoffish. But in this, yeah. I don't think he really came off as, like, quiet. He was kind of just, like... grumpy all the time and like
mad he didn't get his drugs kind of thing.
Yeah, like, so I feel like that is kind of the vibe I would have gone for. I'll have to think about that. I'll get back to you on who I picture like
yeah
that.
Please do. That'd be great.
Wow. Like, I think that it was kind of like you had all these hothead guys that were like just frustrated and cranky all the time that they weren't getting their way, but they all kind of had that personality, especially him and like that one other guy who like had a crush on Camilla. They were like kind of yeah. not that different from each other. And I feel like in the book, those two characters were way more different from each other. And in mm-hmm. this, they were kind of just like pouty that they were like,
it's my way or no way.
Yeah, and it was just like not that intriguing of a personality.
Yeah. I agree.
Hmm.
All right. Well, for a Girl Meets Show first, now we get to close with our top three, since I was too excited to discuss the show. For our top three, we are making a band, of course. What else would we do? So, my band is obviously Taylor Goff and the Six, and Jordan's is Jordan Kennedy and the Six. We're dueling bands, apparently.
Wow. Taylor Goff and the Six sounds way better. Jordan Kennedy and the Six is way too many syllables.
Okay, maybe JC and the Six.
Mm. Okay, I love it.
I'll go first, and I'll just name my whole band.
Perfect.
Okay, for Billy, which is funny after what I just said as far as like what I picture Billy as, because this guy doesn't fit that description at all. But I was choosing this person as someone, as a love interest for me, and someone that I think could be a lead singer of a band, which, lol, I don't know what I was thinking. But I chose Gabriel from Emily in Paris.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? I feel like that could work, though, because I feel like in Emily in Paris, I mean, he's in a love triangle, and
yeah, that's true.
I feel like his emotions are like not really close to the surface, and so that kind of rings true, actually.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Thank you.
The chef turned singer.
For Karen. Well, speaking of chefs, for Karen, I said Sydney from The Bear.
Oh wow, love it.
I just felt like she's so fun and dedicated to the craft.
Totally. And she like, yeah, she's a professional and she isn't there for drama. She's just there to do an amazing job. That's like Karen.
Yeah. And like interested in like making things better.
Yes.
Which I felt like Karen was always in support of as well.
Totally.
And then for a bonus band member, I said Connell from Normal People just because he is a person band. Who would kind of just like fall into the background. But also like if things didn't work out with Gabriel for me, I could go on to Connell.
100%.
Yeah. Wow. We're a worldwide band.
I love this band.
Thank you. Okay. Can't wait to hear yours.
Mine, I was kind of thinking of like, okay, who's like broody? Broody boy, rock star hair, and I said Jon Snow.
Okay, perfect.
Also, I feel like I remember seeing some kind of YouTube video where he's like singing in a band or something like that. I'll have to find it. And it worked. So, I don't know. I just kind of get like kind of, it would be kind of more of an emo band, but you know.
I like it.
And then for my Karen, I said Zoe Kravitz on Big Little Lies, her character.
Oh, perfect.
She's like very artsy, extremely cool.
Kind of funny that you didn't choose her character from what is that called?
High Fidelity.
Yeah.
I know. I felt like that was almost too obvious because it's all music-y already. And I feel like this character, because it's like Karen's like hard to read and her character on Big Little Lies is like cool as a cucumber, like also hard to read. But it totally crossed my mind.
I like it. You could have a whole band of just Zoe characters.
You really could.
Be great.
You really could. And then as my other band member, this character is in a band on his show, and I feel like it works because I feel like he would be like the overlooked band member. I said Landry from Friday Night Lights.
Okay, yes, perfect answer, and you're right. Yeah, I'm actually surprised he wasn't a random cameo in this show.
He would have actually fit in very well. I feel like that you could make him look like he fits in any decade.
Yeah, he's very malleable.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay, great. I'd love to see our Battle of the Bands.
So fun. Co-headline Coachella.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, crush of the week.
My crush of the week, I'm going to give it to Kendall Roy, actually, because
okay,
there was just something in last night's episode that I was like, I'm having a crush on him right now. And I do not have a crush on Kendall in many of the episodes, but I feel like he was just like very calm and collected. I just really like when Kendall is not like hype man in his like bro speak, like trying to be cool. And he was not doing that. I mean, I love when he does that, but I don't have a crush on him when he does that. But he was just kind of like, I can't think of any other words of like, he's just like very collected and kind of more subtle.
He was overly chill.
Yes. Which is
like degaff.
Yeah, it was mode. It's like usually like I feel like that's when he's back on drugs. So I don't know if he is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just was like, I was just really feeling Kendall. So there you go.
Yeah, he was good. I'm going to give it up to Riley Keough. I felt like she was so good, so beautiful. Her singing voice was amazing. And like she had big shoes to fill with like being Daisy Jones and like
yes,
the cult following that this book has. I thought she did an amazing job and she was just like very lovable and tragic at the same time, mm-hmm. which is exactly what they needed.
That is the perfect crush because it is almost like she was able to do with that character what I think that Sam was not able to do with his character, where like Daisy mm-hmm. is very flawed. Like she makes horrible decisions and like you actually shouldn't. There's plenty of reasons why you like wouldn't maybe love this character, but she made her so lovable and like I was rooting for her the whole time.
Yeah, I agree. I just wanted the best for her. And yeah, not for Billy.
Yeah.
Great show. Great book. Glad it exists and glad we have the music to enjoy forever.
Same.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.